All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode that is Live from the Lair. No, it's pre-recorded.
You fucked up. You trusted us.
And today I'm going to be covering an email that I got. It's about 10 months ago. I need to respond to these a little faster, and I admit the fact that my record keeping and my memory is not the best. So let's just get into it.
Do you like stories about serial killers? What about psychics? How about a psychic serial killer with a conscience wiping out the filth of society?
Yeah!
If you thought Dexter was a great show that went soft in its final seasons, these are the books for you. Introducing The Jericho Files, written by an old infantry grunt who has seen evil firsthand and digested it into grade-A gore porn with five-star reviews all around. Click on the link tree in the Meat Gazer box and buy your copies today on Amazon, you filthy, dirty riggers.
I'm not going to use the soldier's name. This particular soldier got wounded in Afghanistan when he had a RPG land inside his mortar pit. Okay, typically, mortar pits are on FOBs, which is a forward operating base. In Afghanistan, those FOBs could be quite small. Sometimes they put them at the bottom of valleys where they could be fired down upon from all sides. Tactical geniuses who put that in place.
You must have a goddamn IQ of 160!
Let's just face it, officers are idiots, and a lot of times they risk their soldiers' lives being stupid.
The whole bloody, lousy, rotten mess of sick-brained, pot-bellied scab heads that ain't fit to lead a Johnny detail. They ain't fit to pour pee out of a boot with instructions written under the heel.
Or not paying attention to training, TTPs, insums, what have you. This particular individual was in the blast radius of an RPG, wasn't hit by any of the shrap metal. He didn't really say in the letter that anyone else in the pit got wounded or killed. So I'm going to assume that that did not happen. He also said he was good for about a week. And he had a headache for that week, but after the week had passed, he started to notice cognitive decline, i.e. stuttering when trying to speak at normal speeds, slow talking, stuttering, memory loss, a little bit of tremors. Typically, if you have a TBI and you start getting tremors, that's usually irritation or damage all the way down to the brain stem. I suffered some damage there. I had some tremors and stuff for about 4 years after my TBI. Iltzel states that his memory started to decline.
I have no memory of this place.
And finally, it got to the point where he was losing emotional control and he was basically medevaced stateside. From his letter, didn't go into a lot of detail other than he did not get proper care from the military or the VA.
Cutbacks. The government's just not giving us the money we need to take care of you guys. We're doing our best. It's really too bad.
And wound up being homeless for about 18 months. Again, not a lot of detail in the homelessness, but I hope to God he lived in a car like me. Being homeless with zero shelter, car, resources, what have you, is a completely different equation to the homelessness I encountered. Mainly because I lived out of my car, I could sleep in there, and I stayed in the car two or three nights, and then I would go to a buddy's house and sleep on the couch for one or two nights, take a shower, get a couple really good meals in me. And, you know, in between that, I lived in my car, lived off the dollar menu, mainly at McDonald's, some at Burger King. Sometimes I would splurge for tacos at either Del Taco or Taco Bell. It just is what it is. All right, so he's asking me, how did I deal and how did I come back from my TBI? And I would say the symptoms that he's explaining are very, very common. In my case, I suffered an IED attack on one of my vehicles while in a convoy moving up to the basically north or near the city of Ramadi. It was later told to me by an EOD guy through a couple of civil affairs teams who I knew operating in the area that the explosive device used to, you know, cripple my vehicle I was in was somewhere between 20 and 40 kilograms of stuff that goes boom. So that is roughly, 40 to 80 pounds of explosive mass that detonated 8 feet off the front bumper of the Humvee I was in. Now, luckily, that Humvee had a partial up armor package, meaning they bolted on armor after the fact, and it was just a stopgap until more up armored vehicles came into country, which took place after I had left. Now, that happened August 28th, roughly somewhere between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. I don't remember the exact time. We are expected to be at our FOB roughly 5:30, 6 o'clock. Obviously, we didn't make it. We had to go to a closer one. We had to tow the vehicle I was in because it was disabled. And I, too, appeared fine. I went right to the medics. They gave me the neurological exam. They said I was fine. I just got my bell rung. I had ringing in my ears, a little bit of dizziness. But for the most part, I was good to go up until Halloween. And when I woke up in the morning of Halloween 2004, I had stroke-like symptoms on my left side, drooping mouth, face, you know, weakness in my left leg, in a very compromised gait. And I had to go to two TMCs. The first one, I had a Army 06 colonel, lieutenant colonel doctor tell me I was having a panic attack and everything was going to be fine. I was a little upset at that because this wasn't my first rodeo. I had been in combat before, and I'm not prone at that time to panic attacks. I then left Slayer, drove across the main road, main MSR, Route Irish to Victory, and saw a lieutenant colonel at that TMC, who luckily at the time basically was a neurosurgeon working in a neurological clinic. And as soon as I walked in the door, he was like, "Hey, First Sergeant, you need to sit the fuck down. You're fucked up." And he knew immediately that I had suffered some type of event. It was later determined through an MRI that I had a minor stroke in the thalamus portion of my brain and pinpoint hemorrhaging in 4 or 5 different spots in my thinking meat. I, in the beginning, didn't think it was a big deal. I thought I would just bounce back and everything would be hunky-dory. I was roughly somewhere between 34 and 36 years old when this took place. I don't remember. I was identified as having one of the signature wounds of that particular conflict, which was the TBI. I spent about somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks in Langstuhl, Germany. Then I was sent home to Detroit, Michigan for about 10 days, and then I was sent back to Walter Reed Hospital, Army Hospital, I believe it's in Maryland. I believe I was there 8 weeks, maybe a little bit more, and I received MRIs roughly every third day with and without contrast for my stay at Walter Reed. So somewhere my MRIs are in some studies in regards to TBI. Now, in 2005, cognitive rehabilitation therapy was really not a thing. I knew some people, we pulled some strings, and the Army picked up the tab, and I went to cognitive rehabilitation therapy in Royal Oak, Michigan at Beaumont Hospital, where, to be honest, I think I rushed things a little bit too quickly, trying to get returned back to full duty. But for several years after that, I was not recovered. Let's just be honest. It took a long time for me to come to terms with the fact that the thinking meat, basically the brain matter behind your eyeballs and between your ears, who makes you who you are, was not working properly. I too had the stuttering. I had the real slow speech. Even to this day, I will still stammer, and I lose track of thoughts in the middle of speaking. It's not as bad as it was, but it comes and goes. Now, one of the main things that I did to get beyond the stuttering was in the back of my mind, I would think I was singing, and that really got rid of the stuttering and the stammering. Mainly because when you're singing, you're using a different portion of your brain, and that portion of this thinking meat I have now was not damaged. So I was able to get beyond the stuttering. And after enough time, I quit stuttering. Okay, and I'm glad because that is horrific. Now, I've talked to a lot of guys with TBIs who still stutter and stammer, and they get really frustrated about it. And it's mainly because they are still in the mindset of using their brain the way they used to use it. And it doesn't work that way now, and it causes this overwhelming frustration that stops their healing process or keeps them from moving on to bigger and better things. Because the frustration is the anchor that will pull you back into the sea of mediocrity. You know, that anger, rage, what have you. He also mentioned in regards to his emotions and how he was losing control of them. I too had this problem, and I think that's one of the main things that led to my divorce. I was injured, and I was showing weakness, and my now ex-wife decided, in my opinion, that she could find greener pastures, and literally turned my life into some redneck country song, which I'm not going to go over it here, but it was a huge cluster goat screw. Some of the other tricks that I used to help get myself up into some normal semblance of thinking is I would play a real-time strategy game like Total Annihilation, you know, Command and Conquer, any of those, StarCraft, and there's a couple other ones, and I would be playing those games online using the old site GameSpy, which is no longer around, and I would play against other human beings, and at the same time, I would have my eldest daughter ask me, like, basic questions, math, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, mainly of whole numbers, and other questions, and I would literally have her in the room going through the questions while I'm playing this real-time strategy game, and I was forced to split my attention span between the game, answering questions, and what have you. And that really helped out a lot. In the beginning, it was incredibly exhausting because your brain uses up most of the calories that you eat during the day. And I was redlining my thinking meat, trying to form new pathways and what have you. And it was quite successful. And I also discovered some supplements like lion's mane mushroom extract, which is really good at helping your body grow new nerve endings, nerves, and what have you. And that helped out a lot. And it got to the point where I learned how to manage the PTSD / TBI symptoms, because they're intertwined, I believe. Because there's a lot of things that will kick off PTSD symptoms, fear, anxiety, sometimes a panic situation, and you really can't separate the two. It is what it is. They wanted me to go on the head meds, and I agreed to take the head meds for 1 year, mainly during 2005. I was on three different head meds, and about halfway through 2006, I had told my doctor that I was gonna, you know, stop taking the head meds and just slowly wean off of them, and I'm glad I did. And one of the main reasons, there's a lot of people out there who've taken head meds who are probably going to agree with this opinion. The head meds don't really cure anything.
Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. What a load of crap.
All they really do is mask and blunt. They mask a lot of the situations that happen in that regard, like depression, anxiety, what have you. And they blunt emotional responses. And I noticed while I was in the head meds, other than the fact that, you know, in my opinion, I'm already a walking dead man, back during 2005 and part of 2006 on the head meds, because they blunt your emotional responses, I felt dead inside as well. And that was really kind of scary. And, you know, I weaned off the head meds in 2006, and for about a year, I had to deal with a huge amount of emotional roller coaster situations.
Emotional damage!
And I blame it on the fact that during 2005, a lot of those emotional responses were blunted, and that stuff doesn't go away. Like, you can run away from your problems, and you can drink and medicate to try to hide from your problems. But no matter how far you run, or no matter how long you take whatever it is, it could be alcohol, drugs, head meds, at the end, you're still going to catch up with yourself. It doesn't really solve anything. The only thing that really does solve the problem is you're just going to have to do a 180 and deal with your shit. And that's what I did. And during that time, I discovered my now ex-wife was stepping out on me to the point where it was unrecoverable. And I was made homeless and all the other crap. So it didn't make it any easier to recover. I got it. Now, in this guy's letter, he also mentions that he now has his own business doing lawn care, maintenance, installing sprinklers, what have you. More power to him. Because I'm going to be honest, once you've seen combat and you've seen how the real world works, it's really hard to going back to being under someone's thumb.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
For instance, I don't think I could ever work at a company where I had to be a mindless drone and just submit to random blank authority. I just can't do that anymore. If I was to ever go back into the corporate world, I would have to have a large amount of autonomy with minimal supervision. Because I no longer get along with whipcrackers. And a lot of the guys I know who are out of the service do the same thing. They open small businesses or they find positions that are not mentally super strenuous, and either they don't give a shit or they have a job where it's not a big deal. If they turn up the pressure, they can just throw his shit down and go, you know what, I'm done, and just walk off the set. There's a lot to be said about that. But there's a lot of guys out there who have, you know, been suffering in silence with the TBI epidemic. Like, I myself, not a day goes by for the past 20 years, or 19, 20 years, where I don't have some type of headache. I think maybe in the past 20 years, I have 30 to 45 days where I didn't really have a headache. Other than that, I usually walk around at a low level, 2, 3, 3.5 headache with occasional migraines that are, you know, unbelievably blinding and totally incapacitating. And I'll usually get 1 to 2 migraines a week. Now, fortunately, I have got some medication that you can take before the migraine fully sets in. Like, in my particular case, I lose peripheral vision in my right eye, and it's literally like just a black curtain. I just lose peripheral vision to about right about here. Now, today, I can see to about here my peripheral vision, which is pretty good. But when it starts to come out here, I get like a metal, cotton, copper kind of taste in my mouth. And I have about 45 minutes to an hour to take my migraine medication and then go to a dark room and ride it out. Normally, I can do it in anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. If I don't catch it in time, I'm done for the day. And that's just the fact. There's been quite a few times I have done the show on a Tuesday or a Thursday where I spent 2 to 3 hours earlier that day, just, you know, balled up in the fetal position, taking my meds, trying to get it to come back down. And fortunately, most of the time, I was successful. But this TBI thing is a real problem out there, especially for the veterans in Afghanistan and Iraq who had to deal with the roadside bombing, you know, bullcrap. Now, this particular individual, he mentioned an RPG landing in his mortar pit. Now, typically a mortar pit is 4 to 6 feet deep, walled with sandbags, usually depending upon the amount of guns. A two-gun mortar pit will be about 20 to 25 feet wide, and if you, a four or a six gets bigger. And sometimes they have two or three different smaller mortar pits with just two guns, just in case, you know, somebody does counter battery fire on you, they don't take out all of your indirect fire assets in one attack. Now, this is just my theory, that since he was in the mortar pit and the RPG landed in there with him, the explosion was magnified on him because of the small area that he was in and the encapsulation of that explosion. Also, like in his case, it took about a week before it started to set in. So what with me, it took about a month, a little bit more, like from August 28th to Halloween, which is about 2 months-ish. And the only explanation I got at Langstuhl and at Walter Reed for the delay is after the TBI and the blast injury, my brain had swelled up a little bit. And that swelling came down roughly about 8 weeks later. And then it caused, you know, basically the stroke and the bleeding to take place in my thinking meat, which led to the issues. Now, after the initial blast, I had a headache for about 4 or 5 days. And then a very low-grade one, like a 1 to 2, which I controlled with Motrin up until October 28th when it fully set in. I really hope that this individual has made the full recovery and is able to get the information from this video, or any veteran out there who suffered a TBI. I mean, this could be useful information. And feel free to send me an email to redonkless12@gmail.com and ask any opinions you might have in regards to your situation, if you have a TBI, what have you, and some steps you can take to recover. Another thing that really helped me out is the neuropsych exams. I took two of those, bombed them horribly to the point where I just couldn't deal with that, and I acquired some of the material for the neuropsych tests outside of the military and medical settings. And some of those you need a prescription to get your hands on. And luckily, I was able to utilize the Green Beret Express. I knew some Special Forces medics who knew people in the real world, made things happen. Another thing that helps is to get those IQ tests. There's books. I just go through them and answer the questions, you know, 5, 10, 15 a day. And if you get them wrong, just research the answers, figure it out, go back and re-engineer the thought process on how to get those questions right in the future. And after a couple of years of that, that really helped out a lot as well. Other than that, that's pretty much all I have on this particular subject. The VA, in my opinion, has radically dropped the ball on this particular situation. They've hired a whole crop of counselors and psychiatrists who were schooled using the woke bullshit of today, and they're about as useless or useful as tits on a bull, which is fitting because they now think the trans mentality is totally healthy, which in my opinion it
is not.
All right, that's me for today, gentlemen. You guys take it easy, and I will talk to you later.